It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone, and today on the program, I'm joined by a buddy of mine, actually. I've known him for a long time. Today, we're going to take a little look at the sports culture in Seattle. He's been there for over 23 years. And, of course, we're going to check out those 2024 Seattle Mariners. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Root Sports anchor and my buddy, Brad.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on the program.
Boone, I'm happy to do it, my friend. I'm happy that you've kind of, I don't know, gone to the dark side a little bit.
I'm on your side.
I know, right now you are.
How many times have you interviewed me?
Oh, man, dozens and dozens of times. I mean, old enough to, you know, to cover you back in those early 2000s, those glory years for Seattle Mariners. We'll talk about that. But you were always a pro, Boone, and I got to give you props because, you know, a lot of guys, it's difficult to talk, you know, when you go 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts, right? When you don't come through with the game on the line. But you were always there, win or lose, you know, to be accountable. And those in the media appreciate that. And I think you now in the media can appreciate just, you know, being a professional, how much that helps us. And now you're one of us now, Boone.
I love it. On a serious note, that's such a good point. And I'm not here to toot my horn and say, look at me, I did this. But I did, especially my tenure in Seattle. That's where I kind of, you know, I was in my prime. I just signed a big contract to Mariners. I think I was the highest paid on the Mariners. And for the first time in my life, it was like, okay, I'm kind of one of the main focal points of this team. And because of my contract and my status on this team, I have a responsibility to be accountable. And that means good, bad, and indifferent. You know, everybody likes to stand in front of the cameras when you go 3 for 4
sure.
with a 2-run bomb and you just won the game and you've just won 6 out of your last 7. Once again, I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just giving you my mindset of how I think an athlete should be. I'm not from the genre of I'm an athlete. I'm not a role model. I think that's BS. I think if you play this game at the highest level, especially today, and you're making the money you're making, I think you have an obligation to be accountable to the people that support you, come out every day, and to the people that sign the back of your checks.
I agree. And you took that seriously. And the guys back in 2001, 2003 did that. And I tell you, going into clubhouses the last 25 years and talking to other media members, and you know this too, Boone, you know who you can go to, who the go-to guys that when things are bad, you've lost 6 of 7, I need to get a comment. I need to talk to somebody about this. Who do you go to? There's some guys that we used to call them the hiders. They would hide. You know, you go in the training room, you go to the, get your meal after the game and you wait out the media, you know, and you know, you don't want to have to go to a same guy every single time, right? Sure. You want to give him a break. But, yeah, I mean, guys that would hide, you know that, and guys that were there when accountable, you would know that too. So props to you and props to those guys who get it, you know, responsibility.
Right. I used to look at you guys, though. And I thought, poor son of a bitch.
And you were jealous.
That poor son of a bitch.
No, yeah, what am I going to say about it, right? What am I going to say about the guys blowing the lead in the ninth inning, right?
You know what I found, though, with the media because of that? Because you answer the bell. That once in a great while, when I just, man, I was just out of juice that day. I was just out of gas. It was whatever. It was just an overwhelming day. We lost again. I got no hits again. And I would go to the media and I would say, guys, could you just give me one day? And because you're always accessible, they'd say, Boone, of course, you know, we'll give you a day. I also felt for you on your side of the ledger, the last thing you want to do on a ball club and a losing streak is go digging for a story. You're like, well, my job is I got to get a take. I don't want to get a take right now. We're getting our butt kicked. I don't want to ask some one of these players that's not in the best mood.
Right.
But that's my job. I got to do it. Just give me something and I'll get out of your face. So I knew that too on your side, that, man, he's got a job to do. He doesn't want to come bug me right now, but he's got to answer to his bosses. So that's kind of the tact I took. And once again, there's a lot of guys that are accountable and stand up. Mm-hmm. I just think once you become that player, you know, when you're a rookie, you're the 25th man on the roster. Nobody expects you to answer the bell every day. But once you've established yourself, like I said, became a mainstay, and especially depending on your team, if you're a main guy on that team, especially a position player, because you're out there every day, I just think you have an obligation to show up. And you don't have to give our dissertations.
No,
just
2-3 questions.
Okay. We ain't got it today. Hey, thanks, Booney. Get out of here. I got a job to do. I don't want to do it. I got back in my day, it was like, I've got a deadline. Whereas today, mm-hmm. it's a little different. Phone, you know, email, whatever, get it done, push it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's amazing.
And you're a good point. You brought up not just a veteran guy, a position player, but if you're the face of the team, if you're making some serious money, like a lot of these guys are now, you know, that comes with the responsibility. Right. I mean, young guy signs a huge extension. Now, all of a sudden, you know, he needs to step up and be a voice for that team. And some of the young guys take a while to learn that. But I think over time, I think it's just part of it, you know, and it helps them too. As you know, now being in the media, I mean, we're a conduit, right? We can really help push a message out, show a different side of you, you know, get the fans to know the players better than just what they see on the field, because they don't get a chance to interact with you like we do on a daily basis. So bring out a different side. You know, you're beloved in Seattle. I think we had a hand in that because you were so accessible. And guys that aren't, the fans just don't get to know them. And it's just not the same type of, you know, feeling like they know you, like they're your friends, you know? So that's kind of, we're kind of old school too, I guess, too, Booney. You know, you and I go back a long way. We're kind of old school in that way, you know.
And I feel it when I go back to Seattle. And for people that, my perception as a player back then was that, man, you know, right in your face, edgy, cocky. Hey.
Yeah, there was Brett Boone, and then there was the Boone. Yes. And when the Boone was talking, I mean, it was just comical. It's an act, but
right.
I mean, there's
right.
some truth to it. And it's just, sure. you know, when you'd walk through and be like, hey, you know, get on the Boone's back. I got you 2 homers today, guys. Don't worry about it. You know, I got this game. You know, guys like that. It was funny. It loosened them up. But there was also some confidence and swagger and some truth to that, you know, and guys kind of gravitated to that. You know, in the clubhouse. So I enjoyed when the Boone came out.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You know what's funny? Because you remember this, Brad. And you knew me on that level where you knew it's a shtick. This is what he does when he gets to the yard. He's this guy. And you're right. There was a little bit of truth to it. But at the end of the day, I could look in the mirror and laugh at myself. Like, listen to that antics I just put on out there. And I remember talking to Mike Cameron early in my career in Seattle, the second tenure,
second time, right.
early 2000s. And Cammy was such a great, I want to say, help to me during those years, because I answered all the questions. I was there. I was kind of the guy in the clubhouse that people went to, and I didn't mind doing it. I had a good time doing it. But some days you just needed some help, and Cammy was that guy. Cammy would be that guy I could ping it to across the locker room, and he could kind of take it on for me. And me and Cammy would sit there after games, and we'd go into the sauna. sometimes, and we'd be talking about the game or whatever, and he'd be like, "Hey, Boone, what's Boone gonna do today?" I say, "Cammy, you know what? This act is tired to keep. It's tiresome to keep up all the time to be 24/7." He goes, "I could imagine. I could imagine. Only how Cammy could do it." But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I think you've got to enjoy it. This side of the ledger now, being a part of media, I do have an appreciation now for what you guys go through and getting the interview, and all of a sudden you've got an interview Wednesday at 9 and it's your schedule set. You got to get that in. And all of a sudden at 8, we don't have that interview. Now what are we going to do to hit our point? So as a player, you know, sometimes you get a little bit overwhelmed, and you'd have Tim Heavily would come to me and say, "Booney, we got ESPN, we got that, and then Root Sports, and okay, I've got 4 interviews, but I've also got a job to do, and I've got to do some training session, just get rid of one of the interviews, say I can't do all 4, and that one, you know," and the people were always gracious. "All right, we'll get you next time." But now doing this, I understand that. Oh yeah, no big deal. You can't do the interview today, that it was going out this afternoon.
Right.
I'll just find somebody else. Have
we promote it? Right.
Right. Hopefully we can do it again. And now you hang up the phone and you're like, "That guy just screwed me."
Hey, you know who did that the most to me? And it wasn't a player, but it was Sweet Lou, the manager. He was phenomenal, as you know. I mean, we could tell Lou stories all day, right? So 2001, my first full year, all right. So I get there in summer of 2000. So I get a half a year of A-Rod. He's gone. He takes the money to Texas. 2001, and we can talk about 2001 later. But Lou, I had a Lou interview every day. It's part of his contract that he sat down and did a pregame. You know, 2 minutes. We call it the best 2 minutes in all of TV. And it was obviously, you know, taped. But he would, as you know, Lou would know everybody. So he's around the batting cages, batting practice. He's talking to everybody. He's talking to other coaches, other players. He's this and that. And it's my first year there, Booney. And I'm like still in awe of everybody. And I'm just kind of like would poke his shoulder and say, Mr. Lou, we've got that. Mr. Lou, sir, we have got that interview." And he would always turn around and say, "Oh, we got one of them things." He would always call it "one of them things." I said, "Yes, sir. Every game we have one of them things." And he would just say, "I'll get there." And so like producers telling me, "Hey, you know, we're on the air in 10 minutes. You've got to get this interview." So I'd go back to him and he's talking to, you know, God knows who, especially in New York where he knew everybody. And I just come up to him again and say, "Hey, can we do this?" And there were several times, Booney, where he just didn't show. And so I had to scramble to get somebody to fill that because we had to have an interview. I'd get Johnny Mack, the bench coach, John McLaren, several times. And he'd always laugh and say, "Oh, Lou, couldn't get Lou today." I'm like, "No, I don't know where he is. Can you come here, Mack, real quick?" Sometimes we did Lou live because he was so late. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, just stressing out trying to get this done." But it's that kind of balance of Lou being who he was. You know, you couldn't really rush him or push him. And it's funny too, you know how bad he was with names. I mean, I interviewed him every day for that entire season and he has no idea what my name is.
If you saw him today, no clue.
He would probably recognize me and know who I was, but right. No idea who I was. Son, that's called everybody son.
Everybody's son. Everybody.
Or the Rule 5 guy. Remember the Rule 5 guy?
And you bring up a good point with Mac, because Mac was Lou's wingman. I mean, Mac got to a point, and you know me, I love Lou to death. Everybody on this, everybody that listens to this podcast, they're probably sick of me talking about my relationship with Lou.
Awesome,
and one of the biggest men in my baseball life that ever touched me. Anyway, Johnny Mack, he'd just be sitting there on the bench and Lou would be ranting about something, you know, that really, he was just ranting, but nothing, it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
And Mack would look at me, he'd look at Lou, and he was always careful not to get on Lou, but he'd look at me and make sure I saw it. And he'd be like, "Hey, Lou, whatever, Lou. Yeah. And he'd make sure I saw it and Lou barely didn't hear it. But Mack, he was the glue back then. He was kind of what made us go, because you're right. Lou was, he'd show up sometimes. I remember coming, he'd get to the dugout. Back then it were 705 games. he get in the dugout at 7:03. I have not seen him yet today. I've been at the yard since 3 or 2:45.
Right.
I have not Lou yet until 7:03. And I'm just getting on the bench. I'm doing my stuff under in the cage, and, you know, it's go time. And Lou'd look at me, you know, disheveled a little bit, take his hat off, rub his hair, go, "All right, Booney, well, what do we got today?" I'd say, "Lou, listen, I just watched the tape.
I got you.
If this guy is the same guy that's on that tape, we're going to kill him. Just have a seat and enjoy the show." And he'd look at me, and especially that 2001 year, because we won every day.
Yep.
He'd look at me and go, "All right, son, if you say so." And he'd sit down, and more times than not, we'd come home with a W. But that was, those are some pretty special times, those early 2000s.